Hello, everybody, and welcome to Light at the End podcast. It is March 8th, 2023. Happy Women's Day to all the ladies out there and all the, I was about to say non-binary folk, but they're not women, so it's not their day today. You wait for your turn, because everybody has their day in the sun. I'm very happy today. I get to do the podcast, which I haven't done in a bit, and I had the day off, and it was awesome. I had a great day off. I didn't leave the house yet. I'm going out to see a comedy show at Gee tonight. I'm meeting some friends. I'm not performing tonight, but talking about performing, let me just give you my dates, and then we'll get into whatever bullshit I'm talking about this week. So let's see, dates coming up. I have Saturday the 11th, I'm performing at Café Votif. I've got Loop on Monday, and I'm probably going to be doing Guy on next Wednesday. That would be the 15th. So come check me out. I'm going to try a new bit as soon as I have the opportunity, maybe tonight, you don't know, because I'm going to the show at Gee just to meet some friends. But in case somebody drops out and somebody offers me a spot, I have a rule about never saying no to that stuff. So if they do, I'm gonna go and try my new little idea that comes off. And yeah, so how are you celebrating Women's Day? Are you doing anything special, ladies? Do you feel appreciated? Do you? Because you should. Well, you are appreciated, but you are killing us, men. So that's it's a tough thing. But on the other hand, so are cigarettes, and nobody's complaining about those. So I guess I did just compare women with cigarettes. Ooh, that's gonna cause some controversy. Nobody cares about what I have to say, so that's why I get to be all edgy on the podcast today. I did almost nothing today. I had a whole bunch of plans about cleaning the house and ironing clothes, and I did some of it, and I'm happy about the stuff that I did, but, you know, that's how adulthood is you get to... There's always some things left over that you need to do tomorrow or the day after that. So that's how it's going. Anyway, I want to tell you guys a story, because I went out with a friend of mine yesterday. He just graduated from school to be a tram driver in Vienna. Congratulations to him. He's doing great. And we went out to celebrate, have some burgers and have some beers, and it was a great time. And he told me about, you know, starting comedy, because we talk about comedy a lot, and he likes comedy, and he wanted to do an open mic. And I'm really for anybody trying it out. Like, if you think you have what it takes to go on stage and do 5 minutes, that's all you need at the beginning. Just be able to talk for 5 minutes about stuff that you think is funny, and you'll take it from there. And he went like, listen, I'm gonna write 5 minutes, and I want you to go over it and tell me if it's funny, which is something I'll do it for him. But I, even before you ask me, should I go on stage and try 5 minutes? My answer is yes. I don't know what you're gonna talk about. I don't know what you have to say. Just try it out. Because The thing about bits is I have no idea how to be funny as another person. I just know how to be funny as myself. That's also debatable if I know how to be funny about myself. But it's the only perspective that I have on comedy. And I do remember once, and I told him this story, that I do remember once that a newer guy to the comedy scene asked me about a bit that he was going to try on that night. And I went, don't do it. Don't do it. It's too rough, too unpolished, too edgy for what you're trying to do. And thank God the guy didn't listen to me, and he went on and he did the bit. It wasn't really a bit, it was just a couple of lines. I don't even remember what it was about, but I do remember that I said, don't do it. He did it anyway, and he got a huge laugh. And then I felt like an asshole because, you know, what do I know? You know, anything could be funny. And whenever I tell my bits to my friends off stage, and I'm like, do you think this is gonna be funny? They usually say no. And what the hell is wrong with you? You need some therapy. And then I try it on stage, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes, despite all the advice of not do it, of not doing it, don't do it. Save yourself the trouble. I had this, and I'm gonna burn one bit on the podcast. I had this one bit that was very, very crude, and it was about a very edgy subject that you can't talk about, or you know, it's a hot topic. So I was talking to my friends, and before I was going up, and I had, listen, I have this new idea of something. A new angle, and I think it's funny, but it's about a touchy subject. It's about rape, and God damn it, they all went like, "Don't do it. Whatever you have to say, you're a guy, you're white. Don't try anything on stage about that." And it kept gnawing on at me that idea, and it's a weird thing because I went like, listen, this is the bit. I'm gonna burn it. I'm gonna do the first one on the podcast ever. I've never done a bit on the podcast, but it goes like this. It's kind of hard figuring out what women want because they're such complex and subtle creatures. And I had this experience where I asked a friend out, and she said no. And we stayed friends. I went like, all right, fine, you don't want to go out. And that was that. But I stayed friends with her. And a few years later, I found out she actually told me, listen, I actually wanted to go out with you that night, but I just wanted you to try harder. And that's very confusing to me. That's a very confusing idea to me because, ladies, you know who never says no. Rapist. They're persistent fuckers. That's how they're gonna call them now. So yeah, that was the bit, and it doesn't sound like much on the podcast, I think, but it really, every time I tried it, it got something because it's such a, whenever you bring it up, it's just such a horrible thing. And I think the audience appreciates the attempt of trying to make it to make it funny. And I'm not trying to make rape funny. I'm just trying to write a joke that hopefully it's going to be funny. So that's something that was very challenging, and everybody told me not to do it. And I did it for a while, and then I realized, oh, the bit isn't really going anywhere, and it's kind of hacky. So I decided to tell it on the internet. There you go. I swear, my other comedy is better than this. I'm thinking about a bit about badgers, in case you were wondering what I'm working on, if I'm still doing rape or abortion or drugs. No, I'm doing badgers, and it's gonna be fun. It's I like a subject like that. That would be like, oh, what you gonna write a bit about? Pants and badgers and I don't know, clocks and headphones. You know, something you see every day. If you see badgers every day, you must be a good hunter, 'cause those guys hide. Anyway, I'm rambling at this point. So my friend did the tram driving school in Vienna, and it was, he told me about it, and I was like, had a complete completely weird idea about what it means to be a tram driver, and he set me straight. We talked about it. And I'm like, dude, what's so difficult? That's what I asked him. What's so difficult? Because it's only gas and brake. The tracks are already laid. The tram can't go off tracks. It just can go forward, and it can brake. I don't think it has reverse. So, and he told me what is so difficult is basically reacting in emergency situations. Something goes bad, tram doesn't go any further, somebody hits you with a car, somebody gets loud in the tram, you're dealing with the general public. So, you know, even if there's only 1% assholes in this world, they will stand out. And when you're dealing with everybody, you get to see a bunch of those guys. So yeah, apparently it's a pretty tough class, and I'm happy he made it. And he's going to be driving the lines in the south of Vienna. So I would avoid that part of town if I were you. All right. I'm just kidding, my friend. If he's listening to the podcast, I don't know. So yeah, I spent my day sharpening knives and playing video games, which is like the dream of any man child out there. I had such a good time because I usually don't play games that much because I have a problem with games because I like them too much, and it's kind of like my crack cocaine. This is my version of crack cocaine. Crack cocaine isn't as addictive to me as video games. Video games are more addictive than that. So I was playing today for a few hours and I had a good time, and then I closed it and I went on with my stuff, and I got to sharpen knives as well, which is also something that I love to do because it's just so it's one of those things that you can immediately see the results of your work. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm actually getting better at this. And today, after I had a bit of a difficult project because I had a knife with some with a chipped blade, so there were parts of metal missing from the blade, and you have to smooth those out. And that's a bit of a difficult thing to do because it's not really that difficult, but it takes a lot of time. So I realized that, oh yeah, after having done a couple of knives that had the same problem, I got to, oh yeah, I can do this a bit faster and a bit more efficient. And that was a fun thing to realize. All right. So that was my day. I hope your day was wonderful as well. The Women's Day today. What do ladies like to do on Women's Day? What do you guys, how do you celebrate? Because I sure as hell didn't tell anybody in my life that any ladies in my life, I didn't tell them that happy Women's Day and stuff. Which means I'm an asshole, I think. Maybe I'm not. I just don't care about days, you know? Women's days, birthdays, Easter. It's just a day. It's fine. Take a moment. Celebrate whatever you're celebrating. Have a drink. But it's not something to get worked out about. Right. Let me tell you about the little events that I've had so far. I haven't been doing comedy as regularly as I used to because of different reasons, most of which having to do with life being complicated as it is. I'm working a lot, and that's just, you know, takes a lot of time, and yeah, that's how that goes. But the last few events were pretty excellent. Café Votif on the 25th, and that was also a very cool event because the regular host wasn't hosting it, and a very new guy to the comedy scene who's just dipping his toes into hosting, shout out to Homer, he hosted the show, and at the end it was a bit of a tough show because part of it was the crowd wasn't as good as we're used to having a crowd there. The crowds there are usually excellent, and these guys were good, but they weren't excellent. Nobody would call them excellent. And he was doing a great job hosting. He kept his head above water, and the first times you're doing it, I just imagine that it's got to be very, very difficult because it's just new territory and you have no idea. So I haven't hosted yet, so you know, I'm pretty much talking out of my ass. But every time I imagine myself hosting, I tend to hyperventilate. So I would imagine it's a tough gig. So he was doing his best, and just before my set, the mic gave out, and that's not what you want. That's really not what you want. So I went, because it's a small room, I just went a cappella. And I'm like, dude, fuck this. I threw the mic on the table. I placed the mic on the table. And I'm like, you know what? I'll do this without the mic. And I had a great time because I was closing the show. And Homer went like, dude, just if you want to go long, go long. If you feel the vibe, go long. If don't, just close it up and we'll go home. That's how it is. And I felt it. I felt the vibe. We started going. I tried some new jokes about. What did I try jokes about? Because I had this thing that I wanted to try jokes about. It was probably about women. Because that's one of my favorite subjects to complain about. if there's any women listening to this podcast, I bet you're rolling your eyes right now. So, hope you enjoy that. Anyway, that was Café Votif. Mic went off and I dealt with it. That's the story of the evening. I did have a good time, and I did perform at Loop on the 27th. And that was also very, very nice. It was one of those shows where nobody was laughing, and then the people from the crowd would come over and be like, oh, you guys did a great job. That was very nice. And no offense, I know your heart's in the right place if you do that, but stop, just laugh during the show. And we would appreciate that way more than you telling us, hey, it was a good job, and not laugh during the show. Because it's like, you know, that compliment is like, oh, you are very brave for trying this with no skill or talent whatsoever. That's what that feels like. It's never a good thing being called brave for not wearing makeup or for trying to do stand-up, you know? It's tough. It's a tough compliment to take, you know? I mean, you are brave for trying it without any skills or any knowledge. Also, it is brave to go on TV without makeup. But, you know, nobody wants to hear that. We want to hear, hey, you look good without makeup. And your skills are getting there. I wasn't laughing because I was in a fucked up mood. But I appreciated the jokes. That's what we want to hear if you didn't laugh. Just laugh. If it's a good joke, just enjoy yourself, you know? I know it's Austria and everybody has a bit of a difficulty with expressive positive emotions, because Austrians will complain about anything. So they have no problem expressing negative emotions. But, you know, the positives, they're still working on that. So that was Loop. That was, as I said, quiet crowd, but people coming up after the show and I'm like, yo, you guys did a good job. And me fuming with not hearing them laugh, but getting that compliment, which kind of felt a bit left-handed, if you ask me. So yeah, I might also do Charlie P's on Monday, by the way. I haven't done a double night in a long time, two sets in a night. But I finally feel like I'm hungry for a bit more comedy in my life. So I guess I might sign up for two sets. Charlie P's is a great show. It's just such an interesting room because the stage is so small and it's very easy to draw people in on whatever's happening on the stage because you just abuse their curiosity. You're just trying to act mysterious and blah blah blah. It's like also like performing without a mic. I felt it was a bit like that because if you have a mic, everybody can hear you fine, and your voice comes through the sound system and whatever. But if you don't have a mic, then they have to make a bit of an effort in listening to you, and that really draws them in and it helps you create a bit of suspense on stage and just, build up the premise where when you come in with the punchline, the laughter is just so much bigger if you have a good setup where they're already listening to every little word and inflection of your voice and stuff like that. It can be a great help. That's why comedians who use silence are just one step ahead. If you can use silence to your advantage and you're not, because when you start out, you are very, very afraid of silence. My friend Ali had this period where he would just make a room feel awkward for whatever, for minutes in a row. And he would just get used, he just got used to that. For 6 months, I actually said to him, and I went up to him, like, why are you making it awkward? And how can you stand it being awkward for so long? Because I would just start sweating or I would change the subject. No, he would stick with his bit, whatever he was doing, and the crowd wasn't reacting positively. They were just sitting there listening, not even booing, which is, I think sitting silent and not doing anything is worse than booing because booing is at least a reaction to something. Anyway, so he kept doing that for, I think it was 6 months. And after 6 months of seeing him do that and struggling with it immensely, because I realized that he was struggling with it, after 6 months, I started seeing how he actually used that to his advantage. Because he would just stay in the pocket when it would get quiet and just roll with the punches. And then he would really sell the punchline when the punchline came, and the crowd would really react. And if they didn't, he would just address it. And he could do that because he was in a comfortable position with awkwardness, and his voice wouldn't crack with the third joke that went flat. And he wouldn't be like, oh, I'm sorry, mister. I thought it would be funny. He would never do that. He would just believe in the bits. Which is the way to go, by the way. If you have a bit, you're doing it no service for not believing in it. A bit you don't believe in it, you don't believe in is gonna fail. No worries. Have no worries about that. But if you believe that there's something funny and you deliver it with conviction, you got a fake conviction in a bit you don't believe in. Or you don't know. Maybe you don't know if it's funny. And if you sell it, then it has a chance. That's when you find out. Yeah. So yeah, that's what's up with me. It's not been a very regular podcast, but it's still going on. I still have faith in it, and my sound levels seem very high today. So I'm sorry if this feels like I've been shouting at you, but I've updated my recording software, and I'm really curious about listening to this and see how it went. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. It's been great talking to you. This has been Light at the End, episode 5, season 2, I think. And that's it. Have a good time. Come see me at the shows. I would very much enjoy to have somebody come up to the show and be like, oh, I heard you have a show from the podcast that you're doing. Also, by the way, if you guys do want to write in, you can write me at lightattheendpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and listen to some complaints and, you know, maybe questions. You want to ask something of a lonely comedian? You go ahead. Be my guest. Thank you. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye.